Hello, .NET readers, listeners, and members. My name is John Moore, and this is the ProWrestling.net audio review for the WWE 205 live show that aired December 5th, 2017 on the WWE Network. Wow, we're in December already. Anyway, after the ad break for non-members, I'll be going over my full audio review of the 205 live show that featured a match between Tony Nese and Rich Swann. Now, as far as this show was concerned, not really worth watching. That's how 205 Live is most weeks, especially without Neville. I go into several times why 205 Live was a better show to watch while Neville was in the Cruiserweight Championship position. You were just guaranteed a really inspired and unique main event, even though no one would really topple Neville for months. But with Enzo Amore as the Cruiserweight champion, it seemed like there was some effort put in like the first month or so, maybe 2 months. But now even Enzo Amore has fallen into just where all the other Cruiserweights are. It's meaningless. Enzo Amore shouldn't be beating people in dominating fashion. It doesn't match his character. But he doesn't even provide the stellar main events that we used to get when Neville was champion. So I'll go into that in my audio review. But overall, this was a missable show. The only thing that really stood out was this cool Hurricane Rana that Grand Metalik hit. What he did was he went into the crowd, but then he just did a hurdle over the barricade and hit Brian Kendrick with a Hurricane Rana. It's like the one thing that really stood out from this episode, and it was impressive, but it's kind of weird that it's just one move from the guy who lost decided was the one that stood out from the show. That was the highlight. Drew Gulak got to be funny, but he's doing the same thing that he does every week, which I'll get into in my audio review. If you would like to follow along with my audio review, you can check out my written review, which is on the ProWrestling.net main page. I'm using it as outline and as notes, so you can use it as a reading guide as well. And so now, without further ado, let's get into the audio review. This week's 205 Live aired right after SmackDown, live from San Diego, California, at the Valley View Casino Center. They was an intro teaser. They've been airing these with recaps from the prior night's events on Raw. Nothing really special about that. Vic Joseph and Nigel McGuinness checked in on commentary. And Joseph had to say his contractually obligated line of 205 being the most exciting hour in television. And I always go follow up by saying this is the most nihilist hour in television because it's just hopeless. Nigel hyped up Tony Nese versus Rich Swann, as well as Drew Gulak versus Rich Swann set up for Raw next week. They also advertised Grand Metalik versus the Brian Kendrick for later in this episode. So right there, they advertised Tony Nese versus Rich Swann and say it's a preview for Drew Gulak versus Rich Swann on Raw. So Tony Nese has no chance. That's just what they're telling you. It's a preview match. It's an enhancement match, but they're advertising the enhancement match beforehand. You can say it like that. It's like if they had Brock Lesnar versus Heath Slater, and they decided to advertise it. For one, you know Heath Slater has no chance because he's going, and say Brock Lesnar has a championship title defense next week. You really know that Heath Slater has no chance. So why advertise the enhancement wrestler? Because that's what they present these heels as on 205 Live. They can mean so much more. They did mean so much more in the WWE Cruiserweight Classic. But on 205 Live, they're just enhancement talent. They're to not really enhance the baby faces because the heels have no steam behind them. That'll be a common trend that I'll be talking about throughout this audio review. The next part was a Drew Gulak promo. This is similar to the Drew Gulak promos we've gotten in past weeks, where he's building up towards his PowerPoint presentation. That's his chant, which is fun. It's to show he's a little hypocritical when he's against the chants and the high flying. The unique thing about this week was he talked about how Enzo Amore's out on international business. He's touring with the Raw brand at Abu Dhabi, I believe. I'll need to go and double check that, but he is on tour overseas with the Raw brand. So is Kalisto. So Drew said it's not the So train this week. It's the Drew train. Drew, like a choo-choo. Yeah, it was funny. Drew Gulak has been the one survivor of this awful show, in that he came into the show with this one of the most disappointing builds from the indie scene. He was kind of a boring wrestler on the independents. And in WWE, he showed a lot of personality and has had that transition to his in-ring work. He still loses a lot. He'll beat Grand Metalik every once in a while, but he loses a lot. But at least he has overcome what seems to be a lack of booking all across the board. Either a writer is totally behind him, or he's just taking the ball and running with it with this comedy character. So good for him in that case. He also called Noam Dar SOFT because he's a bit dorky, and that's a bit of his charm. So the first match of the night, the person who interrupted his PowerPoint presentation was Cedric Alexander. And he told Cedric Alexander that he was supposed to have a match with Alexander, but he talked about great people, great leaders delegating, and he assigned Noam Dar this match. So it was Cedric Alexander versus Noam Dar, and Cedric Alexander defeated Noam Dar via pinfall in 5 minutes and 42 seconds. There was one pretty fun spot. It's more Drew Gulak character work. So you had Noam Dar dominating Cedric Alexander and going for a high-flying move, but it was Drew Gulak that was distracting Noam Dar and stopping him from doing a high-flying move, which plays into the Drew Gulak character. He hates high-flying. So that was the perfect spot for that to happen, and it did something that you usually don't see on 205 Live: develop someone. As I mentioned, Drew Gulak has been the one who has been developing on this show. Not much other people have been, with the exception of Neville, who's gone. And that's it. Saturday Alexander wins. They did protect Noam Dar somewhat, but he didn't really need to be protected because they weren't protecting him to begin with. Before they just dropped the ball with him, Noam Dar was one of the people who came in with. Wasn't disappointing hype with Noam Dar. I remember when I was reviewing Impact Wrestling, what it was, Hayden Gleed told me how good Noam Dar was when they had him job on Impact Wrestling. And Noam Dar came in with a good, like this technical wrestling background. But on 205 Live, he showed that he could play this sleazy dirtbag, like jock guy. Very well. And they gave him a huge heel moment against Alicia Fox. So they did pay that feud off very well in Noam Dar's case, because they gave him a lot of heat when he dumped Alicia Fox. But ever since then, he's just been just inhabiting the position that Arya Daivari once inhabited. And Arya Daivari's back down to that right now, ever since joining the quote "So Train," which is synonymous for just being 205 Live's cannon fodder for the baby faces. No, very disappointing with Noam Dar. Not with him as a person, because we know he has the talent. We know Cedric Alexander has the charisma to gain sympathy, and that's what he's there for. So when a heel does go over on him, they do get sympathy. But they put Cedric Alexander over a lot in meaningless matches. They do the same thing for Rich Swann. 205 Live. That's it. Moving along. Oh, yeah, and right before that, we had Vic Joseph hype up the 205 Live live tour for the first. It's the first ever 205 live tour. See, that's a mouthful. And the tickets were going on sale Friday, and Joseph talked about how this will be a totally different experience than seeing it on television, and that's kind of what I hope it is. If anyone can send in reports from the 205 live shows, it'll be appreciated, because this show does need a different take on it. Hopefully the live shows aren't in cruise control, which I don't think it would be hard not to, that to be totally different at least, because there's just no effort put into this show. So some little amount of effort might make this thing worth watching, given how great the talent is on the show. This is a strong talent roster. Believe it or not, Impact Wrestling, if they had this roster, could end up putting on a pretty strong weekly show. Lucha Underground, if they took this roster and presented it on their Lucha Underground show with that type of high quality writing, would get the most out of these wrestlers. WWE is not even trying. It's treating the show as WWE Superstars, or is it Main Event? Yeah, WWE Superstars, the show that it replaced. It's just a show that you just throw out there to appease your international deals. Moving along. We had Mustafa Ali, Akira Tozawa, and Rich Swann backstage, and they were talking about how excited they were for 205 live events, and it was like a bad actors in a bad infomercial. They're not bad actors. It's the t script they were given. So they were scripted to give this cheesy, "Oh, I'm so excited for 205 live events." Whatever. Let's see. They talked about how bad Drew Gulak was. Swan then did a random twirl and called Dasha Fuentes a mamacita. Swan talked about how he wanted to be two-time Cruiserweight champion. He said Drew cannot handle this because that's what his theme says. Through Drew, not Drew. Okay, that's a typo. Rich Swann said, "The Soul Train will continue to make fools of themselves," which and that's a fact. That's all the heels on this roster, and that's what the Soul Train is. Swann then got a cheap pop by quoting Ron Burgundy and saying, "Stay classy, San Diego." Yeah, that was a thing. My thoughts on it were, can't they bring back Talking Smack instead of this show? For one, Talking Smack was a much better show than this show. And two, it offered wrestlers like this who were given bad scripts on the main roster show to exhibit what they can do when given bullet points and things to go out there and say. And usually the result it ends up being much better. I think one of the few, the two of the few people who cut promos on Talking Smack were like Kalisto and Apollo Crews, but that's because they need to put more time into practicing their promo delivery. But in most cases, like in a who's a good example? Baron Corbin, for example, when he goes on there, is able to shine and show that he's a really good promo. Whereas when you're delivering cheesy lines from cheesy writers, you come off as cheesy. Moving along, we were given after the commercial break, we had a ad which hyped out the broadcast debut of NXT, and that's surely able to be a better show than this, as well as tribute to the troops. We were then heading to our next match in the night, which was the Brian Kendrick with Jack Gallagher versus Grand Metalik. Before the match, we had Kendrick talk about how he d dislikes how Kalisto is just given title shots with no effort while he has to fight hard. Gallagher said Kalisto was out touring internationally and that Kalisto needs to stay gone. Grand Metalik cut an inset promo saying that Kalisto gets up when he gets knocked down, so he really cares about Kalisto. And Metalik talked about treating Gallagher like a piñata by hitting him with an umbrella. Yeah. So the next match was the Brian Kendrick versus the Grand Metalik. And the Brian Kendrick beat Grand Metalik via submission in 5 minutes and 48 seconds. It was actually by knockout, where you had Kendrick lock in the captain's hook and Metalik passing out. So I like the finish there. It establishes Kendrick as a dominating force. One thing that Kendrick has going for him is WWE seems to want to protect Kendrick, which is good. They should be doing this for more heels. I'll go into it later when I talk about NXT's heels, but at least Kendrick, even though there's still no storyline creative behind him, at least they're protecting him somewhat. So when a babyface beats him, it means something. But and it's a bit of a shame that they don't seem to have anything to do with Grand Metalik. WWE treated Grand Metalik's mini El Torito, Mascarita Dorada, a lot better than they do Grand Metalik. Remember, El Torito used to beat up 3MB every week. That included Drew McIntyre and Jinder Mahal. So Grand Metalik can't even beat anyone. He loses more than Sin Cara to Cruiserweights. It's amazing. Yeah, that's it. At least they're protecting Brian Kendrick. But what I do expect is that they're only building him up again, and they did this for him before, to lose to just lose to the latest Japanese quote unquote sensation coming in. They built him up at one point to have him lose to Tajiri. Then they built him up again to have him lose to Akira Tozawa, and this will be 3 for 3 if they are building him up to lose to Hideo Itami. I hope they bring in Hideo Itami as a heel. I don't think that's the case with the vignettes they've been doing. But 205 Live needs some strong heels. They have a strong heel in Brian Kendrick, but even that strong heel doesn't have storyline backing. They should have made Brian Kendrick and Jack Gallagher a dominating heel stable who were just tearing to the baby faces. But in their first feud after teaming up, Jack Gallagher just ends up losing a match after match after match. And Gallagher's a strong promo and very strong in the ring. He should have been the Brian Kendrick's brute. Even though he's a smaller side, he has the MMA background and his strikes are convincing. But yeah, 205 Live, they don't know how to put heat behind any of the baby faces there. It's kind of disappointing. But moving along. Now, let me take a little break from the audio to talk to you guys about .NET membership. For the monthly price of $7.50 a month, you get all of these audio reviews consistently and daily. You're getting the 205 Live this week, but note that the .NET readers get both SmackDown and 205 Live reviews every Wednesday. More or less, sometimes we get the SmackDown one out earlier or later. It just depends on the week. But note that it's out there consistently every week. We have all the major wrestling shows from Ring of Honor to all of the WWE ones covered on a weekly basis consistently, as I mentioned. I could go into that a little more, but I'll go over why you should get hype about .NET right now. We're in roster evaluation season, where Jason Powell and a co-host convert the .NET Weekly show into a roster evaluation show. If you're an NFL, NBA, or any type of sports fan, you're familiar with what scouting reports are, where we go. It's where in sports wise they go over all the players, but what we do is we go over all the wrestlers and going over their strengths, weaknesses, and where each wrestling star is as far as creative is concerned in their individual companies. We've gotten through Ring of Honor and SmackDown already with Hayden Glean and Jake Barnett. This week will be Will Pruitt joining Jason Powell to do the Raw roster evaluation, which should include the Cruiserweight roster if they decide to do so. If they don't, I understand, it's 205 Live. But we'll also be going over, let's see, there's Raw, there's NXT and Impact Wrestling. Whenever we get to that, Impact Wrestling will probably take a little while to get to because the dust still hasn't settled as far as that roster has been concerned because of the whole Canada transition thingy. Now it's time to sign up and get these evaluations during the time that it would be most relevant. And annually, the feedback has been strong to these shows. Speaking of annually, if you decide to commit to .NET annually, you can bring the membership price down to about $5.50 a month on average. But before that, I would recommend trying it out for a month and to see if the shoe fits, if you like it. And I'm pretty sure you guys will like it if you're listening to this because you'll get a plethora of wrestling analysis from many different viewpoints. So make sure and check out .NET membership, especially during roster evaluation season. So now let's get back to the audio review. Drew Gulak talked with the So Train Cannon Fodder Brigade, as I call them, because they just lose the baby faces, all these guys. He talked about how he had the microphone of leadership. He then brought up the same joke that he did a couple weeks ago, where he compared the Soul Train to the Justice League. He said he's Batman and Zomore Superman. He said Noam Dar is the Flash, Tony Nese is Aquaman, and Davari is Wonder Woman. Of course, Davari asked, "Why am I Wonder Woman?" And he said, "Because Davari is a fierce warrior with a great sense of fashion." So funny line there. I liked it. Davari then had this. He's been doing this gimmick where he like takes a stack of bills and hides it in his jacket. Not sure what he's going for there. They try so many things with Davari, and I thought with this Davari Nero character that they did have something, but they still seem to be tweaking him. Doesn't matter, he still loses all the time, and he's regressed. After the commercial break, we had Vic Joseph hyping up Machine Gun Kelly for the tribute to the troops, because Machine Gun Kelly pops up in WWE every once in a while. Not as much as Flo Rida, but it's getting up there. A Hideo Tommy Coming Soon vignette aired. Then they cut to a graphic showing the Cruiserweights reacting to Hideo Itami, which included a overly poetic Mustafa Ali tweet. He talked about like the darkness and the clouds coming in. I was like, oh, okay. And which led us to our main event match, which was Rich Swann versus Tony Nese. And this match wasn't, the result wasn't in doubt. It was Rich Swann defeating Tony Nese via pinfall in 8 minutes, utilizing the Phoenix Splash. After the match, you had Drew Gulak blaring the megaphone to call out the So Train. And you had Akira Tozawa and Mustafa Ali run out to equalize things and just easily dispose of the heels. They have no chance. And 205 Live ended. And yeah, that's just how the show is. All the heels suck, and so that ending scene was the crux. And there's a lot of crux in 205 Live. Lack of creative, all the heels are goobs. The only one heel that really means something right now is Drew Gulak of all of them, and he loses a lot too. Enzo Amore loses a lot because his character is that he loses a lot and that he only wins when he cheats. This show needs to hit the huge reset button. So I said I was going to talk about NXT's heels. So in NXT, you have a Hideo Itami, you have a Lars Sullivan, you have an Adam Cole, a Bobby Fish, a Kyle O'Reilly, an Authors of Pain, an Andrade Cien Almas. You have all these guys, and other people that I'm probably not naming at the moment that are all credible heels. They do cheat, but they cheat to enhance themselves, not. The 205 Live heels, they cheat and lose all the time. That sucks. 205 Live sucks. But why didn't this show get canceled? I take the return of WWE Superstars so I don't have to cover it. No, not so I don't have to cover it. It's, yeah. It's so that I don't have to really analyze a show that's meaningless. Oh. It's possible that they hit the reset button and that all is better, but seeing is believing on that one for now. It's just kind of a waste of time to watch WWE 205 Live. I can't recommend this episode, with the exception of that one cool this hurricanrana that Grand Metalik did. Some weeks there are episodes that you should watch. Like a couple weeks ago, we got the Brian Kendrick and Jack Gallagher versus Rich Swann and Cedric Alexander, where even though the storyline wasn't that great, like I said, Kendrick and Gallagher just lose all the time, and mainly Gallagher is the one taking the pins because they're protecting Kendrick for something. The match was stellar. It was really good. We also tend to get a good, like, elimination four-way when they're trying to make number one contenders and all that stuff. But sometimes they're just episodes like this where it's not even worth watching because, like, what do you really gain from watching this? You can just go watch Raw next week and get more from that. And a couple weeks ago, we got the Kalisto birthday cake episode because for some reason we have to celebrate Kalisto's birthday party. Before that, we got the Halloween candy cane episode, candy corn episode, where Mustafa Ali's trying to stick Twix bars in people's mouths. That really happened. And 205 Live. That's it with my 205 Live audio review. I'm sorry for being a downer on 205 Live, but this is a very downer show. Fingers crossed that they right ship somehow. Maybe it would take till after WrestleMania, or maybe after the Royal Rumble. But this show is just not worth watching. If they can get an infusion of talent, say if they bring in a rock star Spud. Rockstar Spud's not gonna push the needle because Rockstar Spud is a person, heel or babyface, who should come in and just straight up lose matches and then build up towards the eventual strong babyface underdog story. But they should bring in a person like Ricochet, who I think could fill in the void left by Adrian Neville. They could bring in a what you call it? Why am I drawing a blank on his name? Kota Ibushi. They could bring in any Kota Ibushi, and while he's immensely talented, so are a lot of people on this roster. So are Rich Swann. So are T.J. Perkins. So are any other of those guys in the Cruiserweight Classic. I feel like so is Med Grand Metalik, who is treated as a legend in CMLL. I feel if they bring in Ibushi, that they would just marginalize him. He'll beat Brian Kendrick because he's from Japan, and he'll end up winning matches, but all the matches mean nothing because he'll just be beating up Drew Gulak, Tony Nese, Ari Daivari, and Noam Dar, and it means nothing. Yeah, that's it with 205 Live. I hope they bring in someone important and that he can raise the match quality of the main event while also bringing something from a character perspective. Neville was doing great as an in-ring guy and as a character. Enzo was doing great as a character, but then he even burned himself out as far as material was concerned because they would have him go out there for 10-minute segments and to the point where he just ran out of material. And that's it with 205 Live. I will be back tomorrow for on the member side with a much more happy NXT audio review. So that's it. I'll leave you with that and have a nice one. Bye-bye.